This is the first episode of Trump's Playbook, a podcast about American politics nowadays. Good afternoon, Joe. Welcome in our podcast. Welcome in Rotterdam. Welcome in the studio of our local broadcaster, RTV Rijnmond. Joe, did you have a good trip from Amsterdam to Rotterdam?
Yes, thank you, Baldwin.
Yeah?
Nice to be here.
Nice to be here. Perfect. And can you give, for the listeners, a brief introduction of yourself?
Yes, I'll try to make it brief. Okay, I come from the state of Pennsylvania, is where I was born. And I've been in the Netherlands now. I'm an American, of course. Been in the Netherlands for 25 years. My wife is Dutch. I have four daughters.
Okay.
I'm an American lawyer. I practiced in the states of Texas and in Washington, D.C. My family originates, actually, I'm more European than I am American. My grandparents come out of Europe. My mother's parents are Italian. My father's parents are Spanish. So I'm actually second generation American. My parents were born there. Yeah. I grew up there. I have six sisters and two brothers.
Okay.
I come from a large family, and I go back, once or twice a year, depending on the occasion.
Yeah. So your family is an immigrant family,
My family is an immigrant family, yeah. That came over. They were poor from Galicia in Spain.
Galicia, yeah, the north of Spain, yeah.
And from close to Bari, Giovinazzo, which is north of Bari.
Okay.
In the south, they all came over. And the earliest one was my Italian grandfather, who came over right before World War I.
Yeah.
He actually fought for the American army, though he was an Italian immigrant. Sent back to Italy, was wounded in World War I, and shortly before the war ended. Spent months in a hospital in France, and then came back to the U.S., became a citizen, went back to Italy, married my grandmother, came back again as an American citizen with my grandmother. But they were seeking, of course, the American prosperity. They were part of the last great immigrant movement, European immigrant movement into the U.S.
Okay, and you were born in the States?
I was born in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Okay.
My father grew up in Bayonne, New Jersey. And my father, actually, when I was growing up, our name was pronounced Goaty, and not Goate. And that's because, my father had a Hispanic background and felt kind of discriminated against growing up. And he became an engineer. He actually went into the Army, went to the GI Bill, which basically, once you become in the Army, they pay for your education. He got out and became an engineer, worked for RCA, and then he settled in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is very different from the northern Jersey City, which is right outside of New York. And there he wanted us to grow up very American. The American way to pronounce your name was Goaty, and so that's where
Goaty,
I grew up.
Goaty.
I grew up under Goaty until I was 25, probably, when I started to change my name back to Goate. Eventually, when I married my wife, Maud.
Maud is Dutch, you said?
Maud is Dutch, yes. Yeah. We met in London doing a master's in law. And one of the preconditions to get married was to change my name to pronounce it Goate.
Okay.
Back to normal, not Goaty.
Yeah.
And that was a condition, and that's what I did. But Maud and I, so back to being an American lawyer, I studied economics and history as an undergraduate, mm-hmm. University of Delaware. I went to, did a master's in international business at the American Graduate School of International Management, which is now called, it's basically the Thunderbird Global School of Management, and it's part of Arizona State University. Then I went to work for a company called Caterpillar Tractor Company, as in marketing and sales, with the hope that I would be transferred to Europe.
To Europe, yeah.
Because I wanted to basically, I had a bit of a wanderlust, as we say, from my grandparents, and I wanted to basically work overseas and see the world. This was back in the 1980s. Ronald Reagan was president, and there was a dispute with Russia back then. The Cold War was still going on. And he froze all overseas, basically, exports into Russia, imports into Russia of Caterpillar equipment, which basically put a strain on the company. And so I could either take a job domestically, or I would have to sit in Peoria, Illinois for another couple of years to wait for that assignment. So I took the job domestically, and I went to Texas. Yeah. And I was doing a marketing and sales job for Caterpillar in Texas. Decided to go to law school. I ended up at the University of Texas. And the reason why I decided to go to law school was when I was working for Caterpillar, I had a very interesting training program where you rotated through the company in different parts of the company. And one of the parts of the company that I rotated through was legal.
Okay.
And I thought this was a very interesting career. So I ended up going to the University of Texas for law school. I worked in Texas for a few years. Still had this wanderlust to go work overseas. Decided to do a master's then in international business law.
Yeah.
Came to the University of London. That's where I met Maud, who's, of course, a Dutch graduate.
And she's also a lawyer, I know.
Yes, also a lawyer.
Yeah.
Lawyer as well.
Yeah.
And we fell in love, and then we had to make decisions about what we were going to do with our lives, whether we go move to the U.S. or we move to the Netherlands. So we came to the Netherlands for a little bit, for a year, then left and went back to the U.S.
Okay.
And so our first daughter, we have four daughters. The oldest one was born in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and the other three were born here.
Yeah.
So then we were there when Matt became pregnant with her oldest daughter, Imke Rose, decided that it was, where are we going to raise our children?
Yeah.
And the Netherlands.
And then you choose the Netherlands.
We chose the Netherlands. Yeah. So we came back.
Yeah.
And I've been here now almost, I hate to say it, but almost 30 years.
Yeah.
My Netherlands is still here.
Yeah, you speak a bit of Netherlands, Joe.
Ik begrijp meer dan ik kan spreken. Because I have four daughters.
Of course. Yeah, you said that ik Nederlands zou kunnen spreken. Alleen dan antwoord jij in het Engels.
Yeah.
Dus we gaan het een beetje bilingual doen, maar dat komt wel goed, denk ik. A few years ago, you retired as a lawyer.
Well, I wouldn't say I retired. So what happened, I worked for a company called Amation, which was part of 3M.
Mm-hmm.
It was spun off. When I came back to the Netherlands, I worked for Ernst & Young, and then I worked for Amation. And I worked for Amation for, 15, 17 years. 2013, it was taken over by a hedge fund. And then I became a ZZ payer.
Okay.
But I've been still...
This is very nice, ZZ payer. Yeah.
I've been litigating some of the cases that I was still at. I started when I was working for Amation, and I'm still litigating some of those cases today.
Yeah. Okay.
But what I do is European Union law, basically. So, and that's my practice, is basically advising on European Union law.
And you were also a teacher in the university in Amsterdam for a few months or years.
Yeah. I mean, it's been probably off and on 5-6 years.
Yeah.
I just kind of set it aside right now.
Yeah.
I want to do some other things. But on and off, I taught in the undergraduate program, European Union Law.
Yeah.
I taught in the PPLE program also as well. And that was a course called Law, Justice, and Morality. And then I taught mostly in the master's program, and that was legal remedies, European Union legal remedies. And that's pretty much what I do today.
Okay. Yeah.
So advising mostly American companies as to how to navigate the European remedies system, which is really about litigation.
Yeah. And I noticed during our, let's say, pre-talks for this podcast that you are more than interested in American politics. You fly it for Kamala Jackson last elections, for example. But you also have a lot of knowledge I experienced about really what's going on now in the United States, where it origins from Project 2025. We are going to talk thoroughly about that. Mm. But why is that? Why are you so interested in politics and let's say the legal or rule of law, constitution, history of the United States?
It's something I've just always been interested in. History, I mean, I majored in history as an undergraduate because I really loved it. And also economics. Most developments in the world really stem from those two things. Really, it's economics and history. History and also religion, of course, which I consider part of culture and history.
Yeah.
And so politics falls in there, you know. And I've always, you know, if I was living in the U.S., I would have run for the local mayor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So I'm very still. I go back to Lancaster, like I said, a few times a year, and I'm very still active, let's say, in that.
Yeah.
And because my brothers and sisters, I have a big family. Most of them still live there.
Okay.
They span the whole diversity, equality spectrum.
Yeah.
There's always issues. Let's put it that way, legal issues.
Okay. Yeah. Well, before we go to all kind of subjects you mentioned, I will give a brief introduction of myself as well, because we have, of course, the ambition that this podcast will also be listened in the United States, and they don't know about Ivan Eyck in the United States. So for everybody who doesn't know me, I'm Boudewijn van Eyck. I'm born and raised here in Rotterdam. I studied law in Leiden. It's a very small but very good university here in the Netherlands. And I never thought during my studies that I would be a lawyer. It all happened that I was a criminal defense lawyer for more than 35 years. Most of the cases I've done are on the business crime side, so to say. But I've done a lot of cases also with American lawyers. And during my studies, I also studied American state law. That was one of my favorites during the studies. So I always had this feeling that I wanted to do something with, let's say, American law. And I had a few international cases with American lawyers. I was also always very impressed by the high level of quality of American lawyers. After I retired, because now I'm a filmmaker, I'm a documentary maker. I've made a film about the Giro d'Italia, and you, as a half Italian immigrant, yes. you know, of course, yes. that's a very big thing in Italy. Just finished a movie about a famous building here in Rotterdam that's called Hotel New York. That has a very big history of immigrants as well, because of the Holland America Line. It was in that building. It was the office building of the Holland America Line. But after my retirement as a lawyer, I also started a podcast with the name The Trump Trials, because as a former criminal defense lawyer, the headlines I received from all those cases were not enough for me. I had a strong feeling that there were much more details than you can see in the headlines or in the newspapers here in the Netherlands or in the New York Times. So I started to dig in, and together with Rick Bauman, who's sitting here as well in the studio, we made 28 episodes of all the four big criminal cases against Donald Trump that ended after his inauguration. We will talk about that also in this podcast. And after that, we ended this podcast in January of this year. We are now 10 months later. And during that period, there were so many developments also on the legal side and political side in the United States that I thought we have to continue in one way or another this podcast and what's happening in the United States. And then, Joe, I think we met already a few years ago through our daughters, who are good friends. Mm-hmm. And they told me that you have so much to tell that at a certain day I called you and we had a few pre-talks. And it's, let's say, the birth of this podcast, more or less. And maybe it's nice, Joe, when you can explain as well to the listeners what your motivation is to make this podcast.
Well, there are several reasons why I think the podcast is an important thing to do. The first one, is personal. I have four daughters. In June of 2022 was when Supreme Court case came down, Dobbs versus Jackson, and that was taking away the constitutional right for abortion. So that was kind of an eye opener to me. I was upset when Hillary Clinton lost to Trump in the first time in 2016, and I didn't do anything at the time to participate or to try to campaign for Hillary Clinton. Honestly, I didn't think Hillary Clinton was the best candidate. I thought Donald Trump was worse.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I certainly would have preferred Hillary Clinton to win.
Yeah.
It was a shock when Trump won.
We're talking now about 2016, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I had this lingering distaste that I wanted to do something more than just what I've always,
yeah,
just letting the election
not
happen.
Only be in the sidelines, so to say.
Exactly. And so then when this election came, I decided to campaign. And that campaign then, of course, ended up, unfortunately, with Donald Trump winning. And it has effects on all of us. And, I see it in all my family back home. Like I said, I come from a very diverse family. It spans the diversity spectrum.
Yeah.
They will all be affected by what Donald Trump is doing. So, yeah, personally, anything I can do to explain it, to make people understand it, to basically, yeah, give a little enlightenment, I will try to do.
And for me, the combination between, let's say, an American and a Dutch lawyer was one of the main aspects also to start in this way this podcast, because what you are saying is that it affects your family back home, But I think it affects also, let's say, the politics and the legal system here already in the Netherlands. And of course, we read something about it in the newspapers, but the newspapers, they cover, let's say, the daily news, not so many details. They don't show you, let's say, the big picture, because in our preparation of this podcast, we saw the magnitude of what's happening in the US. If you summarize all the developments, no free speech, more or less, pressuring agencies. Well, we have a long list of developments that all together are forming, let's say, a very dangerous development that's also coming towards Europe and also is coming to the Netherlands, of course. And with my background as, let's say, a Dutch lawyer, I think it's nice to compare, if we talk about legal system and legal proceedings, what is happening in the US and if that also can happen here in the Netherlands. So that was also a big motivation for me to start this this podcast.
I think, Baldwin, if you go back to think about, there's a protest of No Kings a couple of weeks ago, and everybody's holding signs and hats. And there's one guy who basically had a sign, held it up, and he said, "It can't fit on this sign." And all he was saying was all the complaints and all the abuses of the system that are happening right now.
Yeah.
You can't just fit it on one side.
In one page, no, that's impossible. And for our listeners, what we are going to do in this podcast is not only have a discussion between the two of us, but we also are going to look for, let's say, American citizens who are in the middle of the storm. You have, of course, a lot of context in the U.S., and as an example, we are going to talk in one of the episodes about blacklisting the lawyers in America. And we will interview one of your former friends or colleagues who are in the middle of that storm. That's an example of people we are going to invite, because I think it's very interesting and good to hear from the people itself there, what they experience and what a certain decision of this Trump administration can have for consequences for people. And we are going to look for more people. So that's what we're going to do in this podcast. We are trying to limit every episode to, let's say, 20 or 25 minutes, because we have seen in other podcasts that's, let's say, the attention span, they say, in proper English. So Rick is already signing to me that we are talking more or less like 20 or 25 minutes. So as an introduction for the listeners of you, Joe, of myself, and also of our podcast, I think we can finish this first episode and go to the second one, and then we are going to talk more about, let's say, where this all has started, and that's, of course, Project 2025. Is that okay with you, Joe?
Very good.
Very good. Thank you.